The first thing you have to watch for in 2013 is buying for value versus buying on the cheap. With budgets expected to be even tighter next year, how can agencies make sure they are getting the most out of their money instead of cheaping out?
There's a big challenge. I think that agencies are going to need to set their technical requirements at the appropriate levels to make sure that they're getting quality, not just minimally capable functional abilities. I think that companies are going to have to very clearly articulate with real metrics and monetary measures the value of whatever enhancements that they're offering. But the bottom line is, you don't want to be a penny wise and a pound foolish. And in an environment like this, where resources are constrained, one of two things can happen. You can actually have both the government and the industry that emerges on the back end be a stronger, more innovative and agile institution, or the exact opposite. And it's really important to buy the right value, the right kind of quality, and not cheap out, so that you actually build a stronger capability in the future.
Does it, in your opinion, matter what they're contracting out for on how they should be looking at it?
Well, sure. I mean, if you're buying basic commodities, you know, it's very simple routine stuff, then clearly buying more towards a low price, technically kind of acceptable basis makes some sense if you're buying pencils or rock salt and that kind of a thing. But when you get up to scale a bit into more complex solutions, more sophisticated requirements, it's very dangerous to buy low price, technically acceptable. You really want to be able to make the kinds of trade-offs between cost, technical capability, past performance, innovation, and so forth that best value is really created to enable. And so it's important for agencies to start by assessing, is something really a commodity, or is it something that has more uncertainty, risk, developmental qualities about it, and or is just more sophisticated, where you really want to buy with a more of a value basis?
The DOD has already acknowledged this problem to a certain extent in Better Buying Power 2.0. Is there a lesson that other agencies could be learning from the Department of Defense?
Well, certainly from DOD's language in Better Buying Power 2.0, and the reason it's in there is that there was a recognition on the part of the leadership at DOD that low-price buying was being used far too often and in too many circumstances where it really wasn't the right way to go. And so I think from the standpoint of lessons learned, I think the civilian agencies can learn from what DOD is now talking about. The next step is to see it actually implemented at DOD as well as at the civilian agencies. And I think DOD sort of acknowledges in that Better Buying Power 2.0, there's really kind of three different things here. One is, I said earlier, you're buying low price if you're dealing with a commodity. Let's just take pencils as the most obvious or something simple. But even other commodity capabilities, services, or products, then low price, minimally technical acceptable is one way to do it. There may be sort of mid-range stuff that you want to buy at the lowest possible price, but if you set your technical requirements high enough, that's how you kind of overcome the risk of getting underqualified or underquality capabilities. And then for the more complex missions, the more significant stuff, then you really want to do it with a cost technical trade-off. And I think DOD is really trying to get people to refocus on that. And that's kind of what the federal acquisition regulation should lead you to. And they're trying to get people to think about it differently.
Your second point focuses more on the reforms of acquisition. What is the top reform you would like to see implemented?
I'm not a big fan of necessarily, or I don't believe we necessarily need lots and lots of new policy. I think the flexibilities that the workforce needs and the government needs are all available to them. I think maybe the best, biggest reform would be to have a little bit of a step back and find new and better ways to empower the workforce to make really good judgments, to use their business sense, to pursue innovation and not second guess everybody when they do something that's slightly out of the ordinary or isn't obvious, because great outcomes and real innovation stem from people being willing to stretch a little bit, to use those critical thinking tools. And we're not using them very often in acquisition today. And the system has really beaten people back to measuring, did they follow the absolute process without regard for what the best outcomes might be. And when I say absolute process, I'm not meaning people should violate rules, but it's one thing to say, I want to get the lowest price, but it's another thing to say, I want to get the lowest price, but the right value and the right quality. That takes judgment. That takes critical thinking. That takes evaluation. That's not a check-the-block kind of thing. And that's where I think the government really ought to be focusing a lot of its effort, is encouraging and empowering its workforce and enabling its workforce to do that kind of thing, because that's where you're going to get the real return in the long run.
I'm speaking with Stan Soloway, President and CEO of the Professional Services Council. Do you think that maybe there should be a way to open more creative approaches for acquisition instead of just being able to have to go letter of the law in order to get the services that agencies need?
Well, I think it's always good to explore new ideas. I would argue that you can stick to the letter of the law and still be pretty innovative and creative. I think the problem we have today is that people are being encouraged, or the system is sort of pushing them, to be non-creative and non-innovative and check the block. And so there's a fine line here. I'm not suggesting anybody should go outside the law, in quotes. I think the law gives you plenty of flexibility. What we need to be doing is supporting and encouraging people to use those flexibilities and to pursue those innovations. I'm not sure we need new rules or new laws. If somebody comes up with a new idea, I think we ought to be open to it and consider it. But, you know, when I look at some of the so-called successes of the last several years in acquisition, whether it's the mine-resistant vehicles for Iraq and the anti-IED technologies, for instance, that were fielded so quickly. Why were they fielded so quickly? Because there was an absolute sustained push and there was an open process to get good ideas and pursue the best ideas and get them fielded. Why don't we replicate that in other parts of acquisition? Why are we so stuck in these long, drawn-out processes that are not value-added? So do we need new ways of buying? Not necessarily new ways of buying. I think we need a new culture and ethic about how we want to buy and what we're going to support.
Do you think that that check-the-box approach has come just from people being afraid of violating the laws?
I don't think it's afraid of violating laws. I think it's a number of things. I think, number one, there is, and we just found this in our acquisition policy survey, it's a survey of federal acquisition folks, not industry, is this disconnect between, and collision actually, between the acquisition community and elements, not all, but elements of the oversight community, where everything is being second-guessed, and the presumption is always that if somebody raises a question in the oversight community, they're automatically right. And so what that does is it creates a bunker mentality in the folks on the front end who don't want to be in the line of fire later on. In addition, they're trying to protect themselves against potential protests. They're actually, in a sense, being developed and trained that way. I mean, they're being immersed in the rules, which is important, but less in the critical thinking skills that are necessary to make really smart business judgments. So I don't think it's as much afraid of violating the law, because I think everybody agrees they need to follow the law. It's more afraid of pursuing a lot of innovation, making and using critical thinking and making subjective judgments, maybe is the better way to put it.
The third point you bring up is about the federal workforce itself and fear that could revert back to a peanut butter spread approach. What makes you think that this could be a possibility?
The last time there was a significant budget crunch back in the 1990s, there were substantial cuts to the federal workforce, almost all of them at the Defense Department. The civilian agencies had some cuts, but they were relatively small. About 98 or 99%, according to GAO, of the cuts took place at DOD. And I was there, and I was in the seat at the time. And those cuts were not entirely strategic. When we look at what happened with the acquisition workforce, people talk about the hollowing out of the acquisition workforce over the last 10 or 15 years. Some of that is the result of the fact that the acquisition workforce, for example, was cut at the same rate as other elements of the workforce without regard, and we perhaps missed this completely, the fact that they were going to be an increasingly central part of how the government operates. So maybe you don't cut every group the same. You have to make judgments. It's not just across the board. But that's kind of the way it happened in the 90s. Congress was even pushing for deeper cuts in the acquisition workforce at the time. But in the 90s, the last time there was a budget drawdown, they were not very strategic cuts to the workforce. And hence we woke up, you know, 8-9 years ago and realized, wow, we've really lost a certain number of skills that we really think we need to have, et cetera. So the hope this time is that as if and when there are personnel cuts as a result of the budget constraints, people will be very strategic and thoughtful about how and where to apply them.